Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right, you are now rocking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. It is another opportunity to talk shop, another opportunity to take a look at your Tennessee Titans. We're going to get into some roster examination, talk some receivers, of course, with forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders via Run TMC. I'm going to get into a little bit about these rookie corners as well. That's what you have coming. Another hard-hitting show. Before we get into all that, though, very, very significant news, very sad news, and I think it's only right to start this show off just shouting out Floyd Reese, the GM, you know what I mean? And I think when you look at just impact on the Titans, now obviously I'm way late to the addition, you know, way late to the tradition rather. You know, I've only been here a little over 3 years, but one thing in those 3 years that I learned is that this man was beloved. He was loved in this market. And a lot of people really credit the success that the Titans had, you know, with McNair and Eddie George and Javon Curse and those guys to the GM, to Floyd Reese, you know. And it was pretty cool because, like, I got to experience the warm welcoming personality that he has, man. And I always think about that laugh. I said it last week when I was on, or earlier this week, I said it, you know, when I was on with Darren, Doncic and Chase, you know, the explosive laughter. That is one thing that I always remember. And it was like, I would purposely do everything I could to say something funny because it just would explode. And then he, at the end, he hits you with that, oh, man. And it just cracked me up, man. And it's a shame that, you know, all of that came to an end. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to the GM because I really loved the way he embraced me. Like, it was crazy to me, like, how excited he was to talk to me. When really, I'm beside myself to talk to him. You know what I mean? And just to kind of feel that. The way he was, you know, was a great experience. And that was something like that, you know, made me feel welcome and actually made me confident that, hey, you know, maybe more confident. Hey, you know what? Maybe I know what I'm talking about a little bit, you know. And he was a great man. And I wanted to start the show off just sharing a few words on him. I mean, it's obvious how much he impacted everybody. I mean, you hear so many people talking about him, and this week, you know, like the station, the game has done a great job of sending him off, and just the work that everybody has done here has been great, and you hear people talking about him, and you could feel the emotion, and in some cases, like, you could hear him get choked up, you know, and that's something that is a testament to the great person that he was. Because one thing that I've always held on to is people may not always remember you, but they're going to remember that moment, how you made them feel. And that's something that he is always going to have, because there's so many people that he made feel good. So, GM, we love you. We know that you're going to rest in power, and, you know, your legacy lives on one way or another in everybody, you know, and can't wait to see him inducted into that Hall of Fame for the Titans. And it's only right that the team put him in there. So awesome thing by the team. So, yeah, let's move on to kind of turn the emotion around and get into a little bit about these rookie corners. I wanted to talk on that. Well, actually, you know what? Let's shift gears. I want to get your opinion, Elijah, about this whole situation with COVID. It's, you know, we get an email, hey, Coach Vrabel's press conference is not going to be at the porch at 12 o'clock. It's going to be at 1 o'clock via Zoom. And you're like, okay. And then he comes out and he says that he's tested positive for COVID-19.
That's tough.
Yeah.
It makes you think when you first hear that, hey, we're going to have this press conference on Zoom. You're getting these 2020 flashbacks where we're just having everything on Zoom, all press conferences on Zoom. A weird little throwback right there. But thankfully for Coach Vrabel, he was vaccinated. So he's feeling, what do you say, like next to no symptoms, really, and only got tested because, I think you have a better insight on like why he was even tested to begin with. But surely it's not going to be very long. I think all he has to do is, because of the protocol now, only pass
two negative tests over 48 hours.
And right.
If he can't produce that, hey, it's a 10-day, away period. He said he got, because he felt a little scratchy, I think it was. So he went in to get tested. And, it's crazy. And I think it's layered too, right? Because now you have Ryan Succop, who had dinner with some of the Titans. Now, I would imagine Brett Kern was one of the Titans. Speculation, but pretty accurate speculation.
That's
because
an easy dot to connect.
They're very close, right? So I'd imagine, he's one of them. We did see Brett Kern at practice on Tuesday. So he tested positive. Bruce Arians, and this one was interesting because, I talked to Jenna Lane, ESPN's NFL Nation Bucks reporter, and she made a post about Succop testing positive. And the headline was tested positive after dinner with Titans players. And I thought that was kind of interesting because it kind of like pointed the finger at the Titans.
A little bit, weird phrasing.
Yeah, yeah. Weird phrasing. And then you get into the part where, Bruce Arians said that Succop had tested positive and said that he had, dinner with the Titans. I mean, the coach himself said it. Bruce Arians said that. It's crazy how different it is, right? Because later on that same day, I asked Coach Vrabel about it, and he was like, you have to fill me in on the report. And I was like, well, Bruce Arians said Ryan Succop tested positive and said that he had dinner with a few of your players. And he said, to his knowledge, he doesn't know who it was. That's how I was trying to find out, who it was. Because in that same, and I admittedly, they reached out to me, ESPN did, the news desk, and reached out to me. And I gave them further information just as far as Anthony Rush already being on the reserve COVID list. And then Nick Zubnar and, Jeremy McNichols, they were placed on, was it McNichols? I think, it was McNichols. They were placed on the reserve COVID list as well. So those guys have no ties to Ryan Succop. It's random. Yeah, McNichols, yes, he played in Tampa before, but that was when Succop was here. There aren't any ties. And I thought it was interesting because, I put that in the post, but then some people said, okay, well, those are the guys he had. No, that's not the case. So it's just... Mm-hmm. Really, we'll just have to keep going as far as the news is concerned. Who's a close contact? Who isn't? And is when you have the head coach coming down with it, he touches everybody, even some of us media. Fist bump or even whatever.
Very active guy in that building,
right? So. We'll see. And, the other thing I look at, this comes after a game. And a game in which they won. So I would imagine, there were a lot of hands.
High fives.
Shake, high fives and those types. So, look, I just think this team, because now they upped it as far as coming in from practice. You have to wear a mask. You have these new rules being passed, which I'm not going to get into that too much. But I think it sucks that media, can't get into the locker rooms. I hope at some point they get back to it, but I don't think it will ever be the case. And I'm not complaining at all. I'm not complaining, so don't get me wrong. But you hear people saying, you don't need to be into the locker room. But these are the same people who say, I love that story you did about so-and-so. How the Sam Hill do you think we get the access to do that?
In established relationships with these players that you get to cite on this very program, it's how. It's
right.
Not just because you link up from Facebook.
Right, know? Exactly. So it's just interesting to me, the back and forth that some people have. You know, like when you do an in-depth story about a guy, or even you have an in-depth conversation, you know, about a guy like some of the ones that we've had on, that is formed by in-person conversation. That's how it happens.
And seeing somebody in person.
So, yeah, I mean, that's that. I'll put a bow around that. I did promise that we would talk about some of these rookie corners. And I think, you know, let's start off with Elijah Molden. And that's a guy, hey, speaking of in-person, you know, relationships and in-depth information, hey, that is one guy we had on Talking with TD, and he opened up a lot about his father, about Jimmy Lake. You know what I mean? It's funny because I was texting back and forth with his dad before the press conference, Alex Molden, and he was really proud. And just, you know, he said it was a big week for his son, and, you know, it was great.
That was an incredible performance from him.
He was out there all over the place. And he just seems, another guest we had on here, Louis Riddick called him the Jedi of the slot because of how natural that feel was for him. And it's very true. Now, granted, there were, you know, a couple times where he was lost in coverage. It happens.
That's rookie stuff.
It's rookie stuff. It's just imperfection stuff, you know what I mean? But for the most part, this dude really exhibited a great feel for that nickel position. And then you saw the physicality against the run. You saw him come up and make a tackle for a loss on a wide receiver screen. You saw him being blitzed and it's great to see a nickel corner being blitzed, because this is a group. Yes, as Rashad Weaver said after the Falcons game, they pride themselves on getting pressure with the front four and not having the blitz. But when you could dial it up and it has the results that Elijah Molden was bringing, I mean, daggone. The one where he ducked underneath, he was like, yo, man, 6'6", 6'7", I'm not going to run through him. What you expect me to do? The thing I love about all that, he said, man, I just blacked out. And that's what happens sometimes. Like, when you do crazy stuff like that, it just, as you said, instinctual, it happens. You know, so I was really impressed with his play. And then he's stacking it, because you turn back around, right, the next practice, that Monday, he was covering Cam Batson on a route. He went up, snatched it out the air, landed on the ground, held it through contact. It's very clear. And the other thing, this is the other thing. I'm starting to see him. Now, this is a frippin' rookie. We talk about communication and all that stuff. I'm starting to see him relaying calls and saying, you know, different things to the linebackers to let them know what you know, the adjustment needs to be. This is a rookie, folks. A rookie. You talk about communication and the need for improvement there. That's it. And guess what? When we had Keith Taylor on, Levi Onwuzurike, Joe Tryon, who, good God, Joe Tryon.
He's a monster already.
He was eating on Saturday. But when we had them on, what did they say? Especially Keith Taylor. What did he say? The communication in the secondary starts with Elijah Molden. And that's something that I loved about playing with him, because he always made sure that we were in the right place, right time, and gave us the correct checks. Just transferred right to the NFL. Shout out to Elijah Molden. This is a really good pick. And now people are seeing why. You know, I was so excited about seeing this guy come. And I don't know. I don't have a horse in the race, but it's nice to have the team that you're covering bring on a player that you know extensively, a player that you're very familiar with, a player that you know will make that defense better. So definitely excited about that. But another one was Caleb Farley. And there's obviously not the same level of excitement, because he's not yet having that same level of success, but just him being out there, I think, is pretty significant. We know the history, you know, with the discectomy and the different things that he went through. Now, obviously, when you have a guy like him who's so talented athletically, you want to see more, but I think it's a waiting process. And he actually talked a little bit about, you know, just how he's handling that adjustment, you know, getting back on the field and just getting things back in order. Let's hear from Caleb Farley just about just getting back into where he's able to really make plays.
I'm just focused on, you know, continuing to get all the way healthy, build my body up, and
There it is right there. Getting his body back in order. That's a major thing that he has to do, and it's going to take time, and that's what he's doing. So you definitely want to shout out Caleb Farley with that. But another thing, because we saw him at one-on-ones, right? And this was the first opportunity to really see him go to work. And he had a couple good reps, a couple bad ones, you know. That Thursday, he got cooked a couple times. Chris Godwin got him. Mike Evans got him. These are two really good receivers. So I don't think that it's anything to be ashamed of. I think it's just, hey, this is something to learn from. But there were a few reps. There was one that I posted. Well, let's go into two of them that I posted. The one was against Mike Evans, and Evans was able to kind of get him at the line of scrimmage. There's something I noticed in both of these reps, and that's that he didn't put hands on the receiver. When you're long like that, I have to check to see exactly where his arm length is, but he's a long corner. And I'm sure that his arms are long. So you could do things to reroute and redirect the receiver at the line of scrimmage. We're not seeing that at this point. And that's what happened on this rep against Mike Evans. And the thing that I like is he was still able to, you know, stay with him, turn and run with Mike Evans. And I will say, I believe Caleb Farley could turn and run with anybody in the league. Tyreek Hill would be an interesting challenge. Mecole Hardman would be an interesting challenge. But I believe that he could turn and run with them, right? So he's always willing to do that. And that's what he did with Mike Evans. And Mike Evans, you know, for those who don't know, he was a premier hooper in the Houston area, right? And he could have gone D1 as a basketball player, one of the best rebounders, you know, and he was a really good post player. Why do I say that? Well, catching a jump ball, contested catch, it's just like catching a rebound. That's what Alshon Jeffrey used to always tell me, man. It's like catching an alley-oop, an oop dunk.
Got to be able to high point it.
Yeah, you got to high point it. And so that's – or a tap dunk, excuse me. So that's what Evans tried to do. But Farley, even though he was a little bit out of position and kind of like off balance – not out of position, but kind of off balance, he was able to get the hand up there and knock it away. That was a good rep. The other rep that I posted was him on a slant. And he actually was going against a receiver. I forget who it was. It was one of the reserve receivers. And they kind of routed him a little bit. And I saw it a couple times where, you know, they would give him a move to the outside. And he will take that move because Caleb Farley is literally a horse, in my opinion. Like, you know how horses, like, they want to get out in the field and run?
Mm-hmm.
That's Caleb Farley. Like, he just wants to run. So you're going to see him kind of open up to the outside a little bit more and want to run with a receiver. But not all receivers are going to want to do that, right? And a lot of times coming off the ball, and Chris Sanders says it all the time, you sell the go, right? So a lot of times receivers coming off the ball, you get that hard move to the outside, and then they'll cross it back over. And what you're seeing is him use that speed turn because he opens up, but then when the receiver crosses his face on the slant, he has to speed turn and quickly go with him. Now, a lot of times what he's able to benefit from at Virginia Tech is the quarterback throwing it a little bit late or him able to use his long arms to reach in and knock it down. But receivers in the league, they specialize in, like, if I get inside of you, I'm going to use my body, and I'm shielding you, and you're not going to get to the football.
Well, that's Mike Thomas stuff right there.
Mike Thomas stuff, yeah. Even, you know, a lot of receivers. And that's what they do. And the quarterbacks are throwing 1, 2, 3, it's out, right? So there's no extra pat, no hesitation. Mm-hmm. It is out. So I say all that to say, until that improves, you're not going to see as much success against the slants. But there are some things that I think he could do a little bit better. And I actually pulled him aside and talked to him on Monday, or Tuesday rather, because I had asked him about covering slants. And he was like, man, I just love covering slants. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I let it be. I wanted to pull him aside and just get into a little bit of technique. And he told me that the speed turn is something that he uses a lot of times when he gets beat. So I was like, well, why aren't you shooting the inside hand? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At the line of scrimmage to keep that slant. Because you know you could turn and run with everybody. Why not shoot that inside hand, you know, to make sure that they can't get inside you? Because that's how you beat typically long corners. You could beat them on slants unless they get their hands on you. That makes it a little more difficult. So he said that he's working on mirroring receivers, right? And he knows that he could shoot his hands. He knows that he could do that. But right now the focus is on the footwork. So that's a good thing because you know what that means? I know we're kind of like, you know, diving in. I was really excited to be able to talk to him about this. So I wanted to relay that to you guys and girls, the listeners, you know what I mean? It's going to get better. It's going to get better because he's purposely not using his hands. And that's something that he can do. And if you remember, we talked about that with him when we had him on after he, you know, was drafted. And one of the things that he said, you know, sometimes it's one hand, sometimes it's two hands. It varies, but he does like to get his hands on receivers. And I think when you have a guy that could turn and run with anybody, you could be a little bit more physical at the line of scrimmage. So those are some things that you know, we'll see happening. But the other thing is kind of like on switch offs. You know, he was struggling a bit on that. And I asked him about that, too, and he talked about making improvements there. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, see, that's the biggest part. I was sloppy, but like, I wasn't sharp.
No, it's all good.
I was sloppy, but I think, you know, getting back in it is something that came today. I had a big emphasis on just kind of playing my right leverage, playing the right techniques, and, you know, just getting back comfortable and trusting my abilities again. You know, being comfortable, that's the biggest thing for me right now, is to just settle down and, you know, realize it's just football.
So there you have it right there. You know, he talked about technique and getting better there. And, folks, when that technique marries with being comfortable and finally feeling healthy again, you got yourself a corner that has the tools to go against pretty much anybody. Right now, I think the major thing is going against route runners, the Stephon Diggs, the Davante Adams, the Amari Coopers, those types. I think that's where he's going to struggle a bit. But against those guys that are just fast, hey, it's cheetah versus cheetah. You know, so that's kind of my thoughts and just what I wanted to relay about Caleb Farley, Elijah Molden. We went a little bit over, I know, but hey, this is what we do, man. I like to just, you know, get into things and dive in deep. So I appreciate each of you for tagging along. We're going to go to a break. Come right back with Chris Sanders.
Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
That's right. Bring us on in. Guitars, please. Yeah. All right, talking with TD as we always keep it going. You hear the music run TMC. You know what time it is. We got my guy coming on, and we're going to let the music play a little bit, and then we'll go ahead and have the proper introductions. You know what? Since we, you know, run DMC, they watch a lot of games at Madison Square Garden. We're going to go to the Garden right now, dim the lights. And now, starting at small forward from Kentucky, number 7, Kenny Skywalker.
I'm hanging up on you, man. Hey, and now, the middleweight champion of the world.
Uh-oh.
Leon
Spinks. Oh, that's terrible. Leon Spinks.
Tooth and all.
All I got to say is bird, bird, bird. Bird is the word. You old Mars Day looking fool.
Man, what's going on with you, man? What is going on, man? I know you've been covering a lot of football, man, but what's going on with these receivers, man? What the heck? Who are they going to keep?
Well, you know what? That's exactly. It's precisely what we're going to talk about.
What?
And I've shared my thoughts along the sidelines at practice. Yeah. and you know, had some changes of opinion and, right, you know, convinced some people at 7-6, and we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But it's only right that we talk about this. And I think, right, you know, actually, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. I was going to shift gears for a second, but I don't want to, you know, knock us off course. So we'll stay on this receiver thing. I guess for starters, what's your overall outlook of this receiver group?
I think it's a great receiver group, and it reminds me of 1999 when I played for the Tennessee Titans. We had me, Derek Mason, Kevin Dyson, Yancey Thigpen, Isaac Byrd, Joey Kent. We were loaded with wide receivers, and I think it's the same thing with the Tennessee Titans here. You got Josh Reynolds, you got Fitzpatrick, you got Batson, you got Kinsey, you got a whole slew of receivers, but The ones that's been consistent the whole camp, I know A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, those guys are going to make it. But the one cat that keeps showing up on film and we keep talking about, but we're really not talking about, is Kinsey. He's balling, man. I mean, he's making a tough catch. He's converting third downs, and he has that it factor. When I say that it factor is when the game is on the line, he always comes up with the big catch. So I think that they may keep I say six, and I think the odd man out, and you may correct me on this, I think Josh Reynolds is gone.
Wow.
I think, and the reason why I say Josh is gone is because everybody's talking about Fitzpatrick. It may not be there, but the only thing about that, he's a fourth-round draft
pick.
He made a lot of money. If he was a sixth or a seventh-round draft pick, I would say, okay, he's out of here. But he's a fourth-round draft pick.
Yeah, that's definitely, and not only is he a fourth round draft pick, Chris, they traded up to get him.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? So I would find it hard to believe that he would be gone. I've said before that I wouldn't be shocked that if Josh Reynolds got released. Let me be clear for some of these Titans fans who, you know, don't seem to understand context. I am not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying I wouldn't be shocked. Because I've seen the same type of situation. Like, I watched this movie before in Philly, and I watched it twice. I watched the sequel to it, too. You know what I mean? With Chris Givens and Reuben Randall. But let's go back to what you opened up with, and that's Mason Kinsey. And I'm glad that you're noticing him, because this is a guy. I mean, if you remember, back in March, well, not March. I'm not going to, you know, pat myself on the back that much. But I'll say May. I was speaking about him and telling you, man, wait until they do these one-on-ones. And I was telling you, he's going to be freaky. Now, they haven't been doing one-on-ones as much. We saw, like, at the beginning of camp. But after that, they didn't do them as much until they got to Bucks camp, and he was eating down there. But what is it about Kinsey that really has made you just kind of not turn around on him, but made you like, hey, this guy is on my radar?
You know, just watching him make the tough catches. I mean, you know, there's a lot of receivers that can catch the ball when they're wide open, but can you make the tough catch when it's tight coverage? I mean, watching those choice routes and watching him, you know, catching the ball over the middle, that takes guts, you know?
Yeah.
That takes guts to make those plays. And I just watch how he shifts his body. I watch how he runs routes. I watch how he has chest over knees. I watch how he gets off the press. He's seasoned. I mean, he's like a stick. He's seasoned. When you have a wide receiver that's seasoned and a quarterback trust you, now you got something. And then there's another guy that we've been talking a little bit about that I know he's definitely going to make the team. I don't think he's on the bubble. It's Chester Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Chester Rogers is balling. And the reason why I say he's balling, he's just not just balling on playing wide receiver. He's a kickoff return.
Yeah.
He's punt return.
Yep.
So now you got 2-1 as opposed to, you know, just having one guy just playing wide receiver.
Right, no doubt. And I'm going to spin it back to Kinsey for a bit, and then we'll go to Rodgers. But the thing that you said is a great point. And I've asked Matt Barkley, when Kaiser was here, I asked him. I've asked Logan Woodside and Ryan Tannehill. I said, you guys continuously target this guy. Why is it that you're constantly going his direction? And you know what the one thing they said? I trust him.
Trust.
And that is very significant. And when you look, I'm going to tell you like this. There was a reason that I had four different quarterbacks in college. Every one of them were my best friend when they were the starter. You know what I'm saying? Because there's something to that trust being established. And when they trust you, they're going your way with the football. Yeah. And that's exactly what you're seeing now. And then also to your point, the tough catches, that catch that he made for the touchdown against the Bucs, that's no easy catch. Yes.
That's no easy catch.
When you had that safety coming down on you like that, I mean, he could have got body rocked. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
no doubt.
Went up, held onto it, and that also is an example of the trust, because I asked Matt Barkley about that throw, and he said, you know what, I never threw that type of a route to him before. Wow. I've never thrown it to him before, but I trusted that he would be there. And if you remember, that was in between. You know, there was a DB. Yeah. He was inside the DB, which is exactly what you want in the seam route, and the safety was coming down. That was one of those tight window throws, and he went up and got it.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, TD, is, you know, when a quarterback trusts you, that means you're going to eat. I mean, you're going to be full. I mean, you're going to get like my rookie season. When I came in as a rookie, Steve McNair and Chris Chandler was my quarterback. I walked up to Steve McNair and said, hey, man, how you doing? Steve McNair gave me a pound. I walked up to Chris Chandler, and he just walked by me. I'm like, dude, you ain't going to say nothing? But all of a sudden, he saw I could run. All of a sudden, he saw I can make touchdowns. Now he want to talk and be buddies. Why? Because I earned his trust. Let me tell you how I earned his trust. We were scrimmaging the Washington Redskins. And this is goofy. It was 4th-and-26, and we went for it, right? I mean, this is goofy. You're in the preseason. You can do it.
Yeah.
So I'm out there. I'm out there, and I run a curl for about 10 yards, and it was kind of high. I jump up, I spin, and I take it like 45 yards. He came up and hugged me. He said, hey, you're going to be all right. And when he said that, it's time to eat. It's time to eat. In the first four games, guess how many yards we were averaging per catch? 30.5.
Good
and
Lord.
Ended up with 23.5. Why? Because he said, hey, Chris, you getting press coverage? Let's go, dog. And that's exactly what happened. Let's go eat.
Well, that big game, was that one of the ones where you hit the sideline and you were running like Jesse Owens? Chariots of Fire. We need to play that music. Do, 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 do. Do. I don't know why that popped into my mind. Yo, man, that's crazy. But Chester Rogers, though. You talk about contested catches. Yo, that's all he's been doing. And it was like a weekend. He caught one in between Rashawn Evans and Kevin Byard in the end zone during 7-on-7. And it was like, after that catch from Tannehill, he consistently went his way. I like Chester Rogers too, man. Yeah. He could play the slot a little bit, but he's tough. He's a tough cookie, 100%. And he makes those contested catches as well.
But you know what makes him tough is because, and the reason why he has an edge is because he's been bounced around the league.
Mm-hmm.
He still feels like he's got something to prove. So watch how he runs routes. Watch how he catches the ball. Watch how when he gets hit, and watch how he does returns. He's running with authority and with an edge. Why? Because he wants to prove that it's in prove to the NFL that he belongs.
Absolutely.
And that's why you see him playing at a whole different level. And then we were talking about this off the air a couple of weeks ago. You said when it's crunch time, who are the guys they're looking for? Kenzie and Chester Rogers. Even if A.J. Brown is in the game, or not in the game, but in practice, they're looking for Chester Rogers. That's huge, boss.
Yeah, these guys are continuing to contribute. And Marcus Johnson has kind of tailed off some.
True.
He's still, you know, making catches, but in the games it's not showing up. He didn't play against the Bucs. He was open against the Falcons a couple times, but the quarterback didn't go his way. To his credit, though, he hasn't been out there with Ryan Tannehill, who has also said that he trusts him, and they have formed a chemistry that dates back to OTAs. So we have that. He's another one to be in the mix. Des Fitzpatrick, though, let me tell you. Mike Vrabel said he had to do a lot to be able to get more snaps and more significant reps. Well, I like the way that he's responded, because he went down there to Tampa. He had a solid week of practice, one-on-ones. You know, there were a couple times where Vrabel was like, yeah, that's a wasted rep. That's a wasted rep. You know, but there were other times where he made some good catches. And then you saw in the game, he came in his first snap, a 7-yard catch along the sideline. Then they had that nice, they sold the play action, the hard play action in that corner. Got his feet were stuck in the quicksand. And Fitzpatrick, you know, faked the stalk block and ran right by him for a touchdown. And then on Tuesday, in practice, he was on the backside, so they had Trips on one side. He was on the other backside of the formation, and he ran a post, and you know, he cooked the guy that I believe is going to be the starting right corner in Christian Fulton. And man, he tracked it down, he caught it, and he outran him another 15 yards into the end zone. So Fitzpatrick is making a late push, and the timeliness is wonderful. It's tremendous. Because it's right before, you know, they're getting ready to go to the cutdowns.
You better be ready.
Yeah. Like,
you know what I love about him is, you know, you want to respond. He responded absolutely well. And I think what he did, as opposed to focusing on what Vrabel said and focusing on what your wide receiver coach, on what you need to do better, he focused on his technique. He focused on making plays. Instead of getting bitter, he chose to get better, and that's what we're seeing. And, you know, I believe he's going to make the team. I think people think that he's not going to make the team. I think he's going to make it, because if you look at Josh Reynolds and Fitzpatrick, they're kind of the same receiver.
Hmm.
They're kind of the same. They're big. They got decent speed. They run okay routes, but they're basically the same. So would you keep a guy that's been in the league for a little bit, or keep a guy that has the potential to get better? So that's the things that we're looking at.
Interesting. So that being said, you know, we haven't even mentioned Racy McMath, who has virtually disappeared. He didn't have a single offensive snap against the Bucks. Not one. Not one. He didn't have it. That's crazy. That's crazy.
He's out.
Stop the fight. But he did play special teams, so we'll see what happens. You said six receivers. I'm going to reserve my guys who are making it for ESPN.com, the Titans page. Yes, I will plug that right now. You'll see it next week. Who are your six?
The reason why I say six, and I'll name them, is because I think that with different positions being hurt, they might need to have more guys at that position as opposed to receiver. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like that. But let me go with my top six. I'll go with, you know, we got A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Batson. We can talk about Batson, Chester Rogers. We got Johnson, and we got Kinsey. Those are my six.
So you don't have Fitzpatrick making it?
No, I said that second. I think I said him third or second.
Okay.
I said Fitzpatrick, yeah.
Okay, so we got the two obvious ones.
Two obvious.
Fitzpatrick,
Marcus Johnson,
Kinsey,
Batson,
and Rodgers.
And Rodgers.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys, that's seven.
I went to Ohio State, man.
You see this shoe? It says Adidas. All you have to do is know how to sign an NFL contract.
I thought I gave you six. I'm actually counting them on my hand. You done jacked me up, man.
Let's go. Fitzpatrick, Julio Jones, AJ Brown.
Yes.
Marcus Johnson.
Yes.
Cam Batson.
And Kinsey.
Chester Rogers and Kinsey.
Is that seven?
That's seven.
Well, then I'm going with seven.
Then we rolling with seven.
You can't win.
Count like that. You can't win. Yo, that's hilarious. Before I get you out of here, one thing, right? A.J. Brown. Okay, I just want to touch on something with him really quick to get your opinion. So, to open up camp, he had naked knees. We know he had the you know, procedures done on each of the knees in March, or was that January? During the offseason, we'll say it that way so they can't be like, oh, you said during the offseason, he had procedures. It kept him out of OTA's mini camp. Right. He opened up training camp. The knees were fine, and he was balling. Then we didn't see him for a couple of days. He reemerged. He had the band on his knee. Then he practiced a couple of days. He was out one. Then he came back with the sleeve on his knee, but it looked like there was a little bit more than a band underneath. I'm not going to, you know, assume it was a brace, but it looked like a little more than a band. And then he was out again. And then we see him riding a bike. And then Adam Schefter, and it was crazy because I think it was Monday, I got a random email saying, hey, you know, we need you to write a post about A.J. Brown expecting to be ready to play on week one. And I was like, yeah, I mean, like, it's that's like saying it's going to be 90 degrees tomorrow. We know that, right? Yeah, but I wrote the post. So Schefter said that despite injury, he's going to be ready, right? Now we see the next day, or actually that very day, A.J. Brown comes out. His knees are naked again. And he's working through individual period. After individual period, he goes over to the sand pit and gets some extra work in over there, and then he goes into the building. What are your thoughts? I mean, do you think, now obviously it's outside looking in, it's just kind of like cold calling it, but do you think when you look at all of this, do you think there was an actual injury or discomfort, or do you think they're trying to like ease the, because Nate Washington, Nate said that in his opinion, what they're doing is trying to ease the pounding on his knees.
Yeah, I just think that he's probably got a little discomfort, and I did a lot of sand workout. It takes the pounding off,
mm-hmm.
but you're still getting actual work.
Right.
So what they're doing is trying to make sure that thing doesn't flare up, and then later on the season it gets worse. So what they're doing is they're just taking precaution and make sure he gets in the sand pit. So I don't think people should get in the uproar and say he's not playing. They're just trying to eliminate a lot of the pounding, because when the season starts, a lot of the pounding is going to start. So just taking precaution to make sure that he's okay. So everybody be okay. He's just in the sand pit, and he's taking the pressure off the knee. That's all it is.
Yeah, and
that's all it is.
That's coming for the second time from a guy who played in the league, you know, been there and done that. So, folks, that's what we're looking at. I don't believe it's a major injury situation.
Nah,
so, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Well, we'll see what happens, man. You got your seven receivers. I believe seven make it two. We'll compare notes and see what's what, and we'll take it from there.
Man, you're my hero, man. Good to hear from you, boss.
Always. Talk to you next week.
All right, boss.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
Back from the break, talking with TD. Yeah, that song right there, Elijah, that's smooth S-M-O-O-V-E music right there, boy. That dude Miguel really be doing it, man. I love his music. I love his music. So, hey, man, that puts us in the mood to wrap this thing up. And I think, you know, on the way out, we'll just take a look at just some of the things that I'm looking forward to seeing in this game where the Titans and Bears, they wrap up the preseason. And, hey, you got Justin Fields getting the start. That's going to be exciting. You know, seeing him out there, that would definitely give the Titans defense something different. And
they'll play for a whole half, too.
Yeah, and it'll give them something different in that it's a guy who can really make things happen, not only in the pocket, but when it breaks down. So I'm looking forward to just seeing how they react, because that gives a different stress on the defense. And we know that they've done really well on third downs. This team has not allowed an offense inside of their meaning the Titans, 24-yard line. They're, you know,
and a dominant preseason.
And Shane Bowen, yeah, it's the preseason, you know what I mean? So take it for what it's worth. But Shane Bowen, he's a little swaggy now, you know what I mean? You see the confidence there. Mm-hmm. It's something that Jayon Brown and some of the defenders, Jeffrey Simmons, have said, you know, they notice, and it's something that they're feeding off of. So I think defensively, I think Elijah Molden will get extended time. Caleb Farley will get extended time. So that's something that I'm looking forward to seeing. And David Long Jr., he's been a big factor on the third downs. We'll see. You know, hopefully Larrell Murchison will be worked through whatever it is that he got going on. He's someone else, you know, because there is a bit of a battle there as far as the defensive line is concerned. You know, Anthony Rush is obviously on the reserve COVID list, but he's a guy that's in the mix. You got Naquan Jones. So it's just going to be good seeing those guys go against this Bears offensive line, who it's not good. So I think that'll be a good opportunity for some of these guys to work out. So I'll be focused on that. But offensively, you know, for the Bears, you know, Dez Newsome is a guy to watch. He's obviously, you know, a big play receiver. So we'll watch that, Daz Newsome, rather. But offensively for the Titans, man, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but you saw Julio Jones get ramped up, right? And I saw him doing sprints on Tuesday. He got involved in the jog-through portion where they're going against the scout team defense. He got involved with that. So full gear, too. So you saw him back on the field. That's a positive thing. I firmly believe that it's very important, and I asked Tannehill about this, just getting that feeling of it, you know, the familiarity with, okay, how does he explode out of his breaks? And we're not talking about in practice. We're talking about, you know, in game where things tend to get ramped up a bit because of the adrenaline that's flowing. So I want to see if they get those two on the field together, maybe for a series or two. And I understand you want to take the bubble wrap approach with Julio Jones because you want him when it actually counts. But you also want him to be fully effective when it actually counts. So I wouldn't be surprised if he plays some. Now, as far as the offensive line is concerned, I mean, we'll see what happens. You'll probably have Munyer out there, no Ben Jones. I think Nate Davis, you know, won't play in order to get Dylan Raiden some more snaps. And let's face the facts, he was solid at guard. He was, and actually I wrote about this, why he's not playing right tackle, you know, and looked at a few things. So definitely make sure you check that out on ESPN.com. But he'll be the starter at right guard, in my opinion, against the Bears. The starters that you'll see against the Bears, you probably won't see LaJuan. I would say Quesenberry start at right tackle. And that's an area that they still got to work out, too. You won't see Derrick Henry. I want to see how this running back situation works out. You know, I would imagine, you know, McNichols is on, you know, the reserve COVID list. I would imagine Mekhi Sargent gets the start. And he's a guy I know some Titans fans are starting to go crazy over. It happens every camp, right? You get a guy who comes out and, you know, the Trey McBride syndrome. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a guy who and you're like, oh, he absolutely has to make the roster. And sometimes he doesn't. But I think Mekhi Sargent has made a case for a roster spot. We'll see what happens there. But, yeah, I want to see those guys, man. Obviously, A.J. Brown, I don't think that there's a need for him to play. I would like to see Josh Reynolds out there. I want to see Marcus Johnson get involved. He didn't play against the Bucs. But above all else, you know what I want to see the most? I want to see Dez Fitzpatrick. I want to see Dez Fitzpatrick, see if he could stack a couple good practices into the game and just further cement his spot on the roster. And, of course, Mason Kinsey is a guy I want to see, go out there and do his thing. And I don't know that he's going to make the roster, but I think that he's made a good case for some strong consideration, you know. So I like that part of it. As far as this group of Titans, you know, the guys that they'll face, I don't think you're going to see much from the Bears defense, right? And you look at some of their reserves, I think the matchups are pretty favorable, right? You know, T.J. Graham from Oregon, though, I know the Titans liked him, the corner. He's one of the reserves, so I definitely look forward to seeing him go against. He's a feisty, sticky little corner. He excelled in one-on-ones down there in Mobile. So those are just a couple of things that I was looking for, and I can't wait to watch. And one other thing, you know, Chris Sanders in the last segment, he did crack up about Jesse Owens, and he was too modest to say it, but I'll say it for him. 1992, he broke Jesse Owens' indoor long jump record, 26.9.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, a big deal.
That is a big deal.
Big. We talking about Jesse Owens. You know what I mean? He broke his indoor track record.
This tells you how good of a guy Chris Sanders is, because if I were to have broken a record that Owens held, you would never hear anything out of my mouth other than that. That'd be on my tombstone one day.
Like, yeah,
I'd be wearing,
you know,
a shirt,
I mean,
that say I broke one of Jesse Owens' records.
That's significant.
You would never forget it. I'd make sure you never forgot it.
Exactly.
But Chris Sanders wouldn't tell you unless you pried it from him.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, always a pleasure having Chris Sanders on. And I'm glad that you guys got to kind of just hear us just go back and forth and just loosen up. And I'm glad that everyone enjoys that, because it's definitely a fun segment to do. So I appreciate Chris for that. Elijah, I appreciate you making this thing happen, man. Each and every week, this is what we do. We'll be back next week. It may be time to do a preview of game one. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Malcolm Butler,
J.J. Watt,
A.J. Green. Well, we could keep going on and on, but we're not going to do that. We are out of here. We've exhausted our time. Thank you for tuning in. God bless and good night.